My name is Noah Brooks. Today's October 26th, and I'm interviewing Patrick Dunlea through Zoom for the Colby College Korean Oral History Project. Patrick, do you agree to grant the college permission to archive and publish this interview for educational purposes?
I do.
Awesome. First and foremost, thank you for being here. Patrick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm currently studying abroad in Barcelona, which has been just a really great experience. But coming off of a little issue with an appendix surgery this past weekend, so I'm just glad I could be here.
Definitely. Happy to have you here. Can you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Patrick Chuntley, as Noah sort of previously stated, and I guess that this interview is for a Korean history class, so I should sort of preface that I was adopted from Seoul, South Korea when I was just a few months old, and I moved directly to the United States, but specifically the Midwest, and just right outside Chicago. I'm about an hour west of the city. I grew up in a really small town called Wayne, and I lived with both my parents and older brother and an older sister, all four of which were completely Caucasian. And from then on, I did my schooling throughout Illinois until I ended up going to a boarding school my sophomore year of high school. It was in Connecticut, called the Hochschule School, and then from there on, I ended up meeting Noah to where I am today at Colby College. So, yeah.
Patrick, what was your childhood like in living in Chicago?
Yes, that's a really interesting question, especially because of my sort of background as an adopted child. And then this is exactly what I sort of wrote my Common App college application about, was growing up as an Asian child within a Caucasian family. And one of the things that I sort of talked about was that I tended to do or like dislike things that may not be typical of like a quote unquote like stereotypical like Asian childhood. Like, I remember growing up, my parents made me play piano, and I know that's like something that's super common, especially with a lot of Asian children. And I hated it. And I remember every day, like, my friends would want to come over and play football in the backyard or do some sort of activity outside, and I'd be like, no, I can't. Like, I have piano lessons, and it's something I despise my whole life. And I ended up making my deal with my parents that if I made the national lacrosse team for one of my levels in eighth grade, that I'd be able to quit. And fortunately enough, I worked hard and was able to do so. And so just sort of going back to the like main point at hand, I'd always grown up doing things that were maybe atypical of in stereotypically like Asian family household. Like, I play lacrosse. I went to like a private Catholic school, was one of the only Asian kids there. I went to boarding school. That was just something that maybe not typical of a like a stereotype that you might think of on the first hand. But I didn't do it because I resented that I was Asian. I did it because I grew up with an environment that was primary or completely Caucasian, and I did things that I was surrounded by, and they became my like interests. And I don't think it has anything to do with the race, but rather the environment that I sort of grew up in. So I sort of tended to do things that were more typical of like the sort of Caucasian family that I lived in. Like, I played sports like football, lacrosse, etc. And I went to like private school growing up. And and I think that just tends more towards environment rather than race.
Definitely. Can you tell me a little bit about your family?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit more about my family. So I'll start off with my parents. My dad is Irish. He also grew up sort of in the western suburbs of Illinois. He, like I said, grew up in Illinois. He goes to Ireland every so often to go see his family, which mainly is there, except for his mother, who lives now, moved to the western suburbs as well. He ended up going to trade school, and he worked in a lot of different sales jobs growing up, and then sort of went his own route and started his own small business. And he does third-party asset verification, which you could ask me what that is, and I have no clue, so I can't really help you out there. And then my mom is Greek, and she grew up in a very Greek household, and we have a lot of a lot of Greek family, and they're very loud. There's always a lot going on. And she went to the University of Illinois for her school and then ended up doing her master's degree at Northern Illinois University. And now she's a fourth grade teacher in the suburbs of Illinois as well. And I think she's getting a little bit tired of it. She's talking about how kids nowadays have just changed so much from like when she began teaching. And she's like, it's become a lot. I don't know if it's like technology or just like the way parenting has sort of gone in, but sort of that's her story. And then going to my older brother, his name's James. He just is about to turn 29 this month. So he's getting old. He's getting a little old there. He's almost touching that 30 mark. But he's the genius of the family. We don't have a lot of the same interests. Like, he didn't love sports growing up. He just loves like books and reading and school. And he ended up going to Cornell University for his undergrad. He did that there. He went to Northwestern for 2 years to complete his master's in law. And then he did 3 more years at Columbia University in New York City for his PhD in psychology. And now he currently works as sort of a like statistician or something, or consultant. Again, I don't really know, for CVS, and he loves his job and he gets to work from home. So it seems sort of ideal. And then my sister, she had a kind of a difficult childhood growing up because she's hard of hearing. So she has hearing aids, and obviously growing up with disabilities and for anyone is pretty tough. And I'd always been proud of her just for everything she'd sort of overcome. And she went to school at a local college in Illinois called Elmhurst College, which is another sort of small college in the western suburbs of Illinois. And she currently just started her new job like this past year as a preschool teacher at a hard of hearing school. So she's doing what she enjoys, and she's helping those in the same community, which is awesome.
Awesome. That's great. How would you say your family has shaped your identity?
Yeah. Sort of going back to one of the earlier questions that you asked me, I think if someone met me, they wouldn't think, like, if they just disregarding appearance, like if you were just to go off of sort of all like the different experiences that I've had throughout my life, they would not. And you asked them to like draw an image of the person you thought of, zero possibility that they would ever draw, I think, an Asian person. I think they would probably draw, I don't know, some like your average looking like Caucasian lacrosse player or frat guy, or someone that like enjoys to have a good time or something from the East Coast. But I think I'm kind of getting sidetracked here, but I think this just goes towards growing up in that sort of like white environment, like I said. And I really don't put any of this towards race, especially because of how I really stress the importance of environment, and like sort of the environment you grew up has such an influence on you, just like lacrosse, piano, like not loving that, just like all the interests I've had growing up. I just tended to have interests that weren't of norm, I guess, to say. I don't really know if that's the right word to use or not, of what maybe people would think that I would be interested in. And that's totally fine by me. I'm just gonna keep going with what I'm going. I don't care if I'm like a minority group in whatever, like lacrosse. I know there's not a lot of Asian kids there, like the schools I went to. Like, as long as you're sociable and you try to be a good person, I think you'll get along with everyone. And I think that my family has sort of swayed my identity in, I've started to grow interests that they would have, rather than what maybe someone would think I should have.
When did you learn you were adopted, or did you always know?
You know, I couldn't pick out a certain like exact time. Obviously, throughout my life, you kind of understand that you are adopted. And I think one of the sort of signifying moments to me was, I don't know what grade it was. I think it was either like first or second grade. But seeing like the Christmas card from that year and sort of noticing that maybe you look a little bit different than the rest of your family, was definitely like a moment to me, like, wow, this is something unique, and it doesn't like feel right just when you're looking at the picture, but like it's your family, you love them, and they're always going to love you back. And I think that was just like a really big hit to me, was like, well, I don't look like the people that surround me, but this is my family.
Do you know anything about your birth family, or have you ever been interested in learning more?
So interestingly enough, my biological sister was adopted to a family in another suburb of Illinois. It's probably like an hour away from me. And I used to spend a lot of time with her, probably meet up like every few months or so throughout the year growing up, when I was younger. But other than that, I have probably not seen her in several years, probably since 2012, 2015. And then I do not know anything about my biological parents now.
Did your adoptive parents raise you with any exposure to Korean culture or language? And how did this presence or absence shape your relationship to that heritage?
Yeah, of course. No, they did not. They just raised me like I was one of my older brother and my older sister. They raised me the complete same. I think the only like difference they've given me is maybe being the youngest child that had a little bit more leeway with things. That's totally true. But no, I was not exposed to any sort of Korean culture. I know whenever I go to restaurants or something, people try to speak to me in a native language, and I'll just be like, I'm sorry. Like, I am the furthest thing away from being able to speak this language. And I couldn't tell you a single thing about Korean culture besides like Korean barbecue, which could be like maybe American spinoff on a Korean food, and I would have zero clue. But yeah.
I can definitely relate to the leeway of being the youngest child. Do you feel as though you're part of an adoptee community? How or how not?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think of other people that I know are adopted. And I can only really like put together one person who's from my high school. He's actually Caucasian. He was born in Russia. And I honestly like didn't even know he was adopted until my parents told me, I think, because they talked to his parents. But I really don't see like a community of adopted kids out there. I'd always just sort of surrounded myself by the people that I'd always like spent my most time with, and they tended to be white. I think the majority, like 99.9% of my friends are white. And I think that just comes again to like what my interests were and how I grew up.
Transitioning a little bit, when did you start playing lacrosse?
Yeah, so I started playing lacrosse really, really early in my life, probably first or second grade. It was brand new in Illinois, so it was still like very, very like basic level. Not anyone in the state was super advanced unless you were from like the North Shore, which was sort of went to Illinois a little bit earlier. But yeah, I would say first or second grade, just because my brother in high school began playing, and I sort of started from there as well.
What was it like moving from a city like Chicago to studying at a preparatory school?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest culture shock of my life, was moving. I think the Midwest in general to the East Coast is a huge jump. And I think the one thing I would put that towards, especially going to a boarding school like Hotchkiss, was just like the cutthroat nature and sort of the competitiveness that people had there. I'd always just been, I feel like, your like typical Midwest kid, like pretty laid back. I wasn't like super serious about my schoolwork. Sorry to say that to you, if you're listening. But like I was never in the library for 12 hours a day. I was never like reading books for enjoyment as a kid. I liked playing sports. But that was the biggest thing to me was I remember going there and people were just like coming at each other for school. And I'm just, I was so confused. Like this had never been like a big competition to me, like trying to get into college. I remember college sweatshirt day on my senior year was the like most elitist thing that I'd ever seen in my entire life. But deservingly so, like everyone, they worked as hard as I'd ever seen anyone work before. But just seeing that around you was just like, was a really big shock. And that was one of the big highlights of my time at boarding school. I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah, I think it really tended towards like the expectations of the like people in the East Coast and where they wanted to be, as well as like me being from the Midwest and then going to the East Coast. So that was like the biggest shock for me for going to like a boarding school, like a prep school.
What do you remember about playing for Hotchkiss?
So obviously my junior season didn't happen because of COVID, but from my sophomore to senior year, it was very, very different. When I got there my sophomore year, I wouldn't even consider us a lacrosse team. I would consider it a bunch of football players that played lacrosse. And that really did constitute to our losing record that year. The culture just wasn't great. People were just there to, you had to play two sports. So people just played two sports. They played football and lacrosse. And or like hockey and lacrosse, but I don't think anyone's really main sport was lacrosse. They were coming from elsewhere and just playing lacrosse as well. But I just remember it not being a very strong or like bought in culture. It was like everyone liked each other, but they were just not bought in for the sport. They were bought in to be with the team. And that did show on the field. And then going into sort of my senior year, we had a new coach going into my sophomore year, and he really changed things around and brought in a bunch of new recruits. And I ended up being a captain for my senior year. And we had a really great season, and we had a really great group of guys, and things were just like a complete 180 of where it was before. It was just like completely different culture. Everyone was sort of bought in. They were doing stuff in their own time, and they were like glad to be doing it, which is something that you'd like to see, like people enjoying actually playing lacrosse. And yeah, we had a really great year, senior year, even though it was like abbreviated due to COVID still ongoing. But yeah, I think lacrosse was like the highlight of my time at boarding school, just because of how strict it was. Like we'd have to be in our rooms at 10 p.m. during the week, like for check-in, and on the weekends at 11, like we didn't have free time. Like you couldn't have people in your room. You'd have to hang out in public spaces. So sort of being able to play sports was kind of a release for me. And that's something I was really glad I had at Hotchkiss.
And I'm sure that played into your decision in part to come to Colby. Can you tell me about your path to Colby?
Yeah. My path to Colby started fairly early in my lacrosse career. I remember maybe freshman year going to a camp at Dartmouth, and the first person I met there and my coach for my team at Dartmouth was Casey Dowd, who was an assistant coach at the Colby lacrosse team. And he just had been someone that I sort of looked up to for a while, just because I went to that camp every year. I'm going to be completely honest, I wanted to go to Dartmouth my whole time, but like growing up I wanted to go there, so I'd go to the camp every year. But Casey Dowd was always there, and he'd always like reached out to me because he recognized me every time, and he was always super friendly, and was obviously a great coach as well. So I remember talking to him throughout my whole high school career, and that connection was always there. I'd always been like hesitant of going to an NESCAC school, just because of, I really thought people at Hotchkiss looked down upon it. I remember the day I told everyone that I committed to Colby. First off, they were surprised I got into college, just because of like how much they were just like in the library, like doing their own thing. But it also seemed like, I remember hearing from like a bunch of different people that like, Colby was their like backup school, like if they didn't have any other options. I was like, okay, I really don't care what you, I did care at the time. But like in the back of my head, I was like, so be it. Like, this is a great school and this is a great opportunity for me. But I don't know why, but I like didn't want to go to Maine, so I like always had the back of my mind that like even though I sort of narrowed it down to me going to the NESCAC schools, I wanted to go to Middlebury or I forget what, Williams. But in the end, I honestly didn't have the grades for one of them, and the other one didn't end up working out, and I ended up coming to Colby, and I was a little hesitant at first, but it ended up being the best decision of my life for not going to the other two schools. And I'm glad it worked out that way too.
Absolutely. Did identity play any role in that decision?
I'm trying to sort of think of how I could differentiate like the schools I wanted to go to versus, I think, being sort of in like following my brother who was so successful in school made me sort of want to go to an Ivy League school. I don't think I actually like had any desire to actually do it versus like just like the name. I know in a lot of things that I do, it's like if you don't totally have like 100% like love for it, it's just like just do the or try to be a part of the best thing that you can. And I think that sort of just following in his footsteps made me sort of want to just say I was a part of like an Ivy League school, but in reality, I don't think I've enjoyed my time there. Like I said, I'm not saying that Colby's more laid back than Dartmouth, but I think that the people are. I don't think they're as intense about everything in like every single day of their life. Like I've been able to sort of have a lot of friends that maybe aren't in the library 24/7, and I really am thankful for that as well. And I'm probably putting myself down right now, but I promise I try in school. Like I try to do my best, but I just can't have like that like all day like studying grind. But yeah, I think the only thing towards identity is just like looking at my family and seeing like how my family's been, or my brother's been so successful, and just like wanting to be in his footsteps. But I did what I could to the best of my ability, and I'm still 100% grateful for where I am today at Colby.
Absolutely. In terms of heritage, would you say you've experienced any obstacles at Colby?
As in just like being a Asian student?
As a Korean American?
Not really. I feel like most people would say yes, but I think I've just am a person who surrounds myself with people I know wouldn't ever do that or like say anything, that I've never had these issues. Like I like am very like adamant about like who I hang out with and like strong-willed about like the people that I surround myself with. And I don't know, it's bad to say, but I feel like if I don't like someone, they probably will know it from me that I don't like them, or I just will just not have myself around them. And I think for that reason, just like my own, I'm trying to think of the word, just sort of, I don't know, just like that aspect of me and like that characteristic of myself has allowed me to sort of surround myself with people that would never say or cause any obstacles for me while I've sort of had my time at Colby.
Absolutely. Patrick, lacrosse has a deep history of exclusion dating back to its origin within Indigenous communities. Have you experienced any instances of racism during your time playing the sport?
Nothing that I have sort of that was like intentionally like racist, I don't think. I think people might have doubted certain abilities in the sport, like maybe skill. Like if you're looking at me at a first glance, I'm usually like one of the shorter guys on the team, like an Asian kid that maybe doesn't look like he'd be very good at the sport. So I think like right off the bat, maybe someone would doubt my abilities on the field. And try to maybe, like, keep the ball away from me or something, or just not include me like in like the play at that time or that ongoing time. But I've never really experienced anything to where it was directly like racial slurs or like harmful towards myself, rather than I'm trying to like perceive notions of like an individual. Like if someone looked at me on the field, they'd be like, okay, he's probably not very good, so I'm just like not gonna give him the ball. But yeah, you just got to keep proving yourself, and you'll get to where you need to be. And you just got to show everyone that you, I just feel like I've had to like prove myself twice versus like what everyone else would have to do on the field.
And in those moments, can you describe how that feels?
Obviously it sucks. It's not ideal. You don't sort of want people to think of you like that, but it honestly just lets you prove yourself and prove what you're worth. And that's fine by me. Like, if you're going to look down on me at first, like, so be it. You're just going to have to, like, reap the consequences. So just got to keep going.
Definitely. How would you say you respond or navigate those particular situations?
I think I get flustered pretty easily, which is one of my flaws. Like, I think if, like, a coach comes, like, down on me, like, yelling, or if – like something doesn't go my way, I do tend to become a little flustered. So my biggest thing is, I think there's two things. One is obviously saying, holding your composure and sort of not retaliating or doing something of that nature. And I think the second thing is sort of being overly prepared going into certain situations, just to have the confidence to where you're able to respond accordingly. And when I find myself to be prepared for situations, I find that I succeed a lot more than if I'm just to like go into there and sort of just have to perform. So beforehand, I always try to just get my, like, sort of talk to myself and say that things happen, like, this is how you have to deal with it. And just being confident on the field is like 110%, like, what keeps me together and what makes me the player I am, and what allows me to sort of keep my composure in those situations. So I would definitely sort of cater that towards like being prepared, confident, and as well as being able to stay composed.
Do you think others share those experiences of adversity based on identity or heritage in the sport of lacrosse?
I think there's two main minority groups that you're starting to see in lacrosse right now. And I think there are a good amount of Asian kids that are starting to play lacrosse and sort of make a name for themselves in the sport. Like, there's two twin brothers on Rutgers who are fairly, like, very, very good, actually, that are Asian. And that's really great to see for the community, as well as then the, I feel like there's a large, like, African-American population as well playing the sport of lacrosse now, which is awesome to see. But I think the, like, stereotypes for those two, like, Asian versus African-American, on two very, like, different ends of the spectrum, to where maybe Asian people might be, like, looked down upon versus, like, an African-American player who, like, people have some sort of, like, prejudice against, or might assume that, like, they have some sort of, like, I don't know. I feel like there's just so many stereotypes about African-American, like, sports players just being, having that sort of athletic edge on people, which is obviously uncalled for and not, like, I don't really know where I'm going with this, but if you're not white and you play lacrosse, you're going to have some sort of prejudice against you in some sort of realm of the sport, and you just have to put your head down and keep going.
Do you think the emergence of more minority players succeeding at high levels has shed light on the fact that anybody can play the sport and maybe given confidence to younger players?
No, 100%. I think it's great for the game, and I think it's great for the growth of the sport as well. And I think it translates. Like, you see these minority players in college lacrosse nowadays, and even in the professional league, which is beginning to grow as well. And then you see the growth of the sport in total, and it totally correlates. Like, lacrosse just announced that It's going to be in the Olympics in 2028, I believe, for like a sixes version of lacrosse, which is amazing. So you're going to see multiple countries out there, and it's only going to shed more light on the sport. And then I'm really glad for that as well.
I think you touched on it a little bit, but have you observed efforts within the lacrosse community to address issues of racism and promote inclusivity?
I honestly feel like lacrosse is such a new game that race is just not, it's not something that like they try to, actually I take that back. The US team goes to Japan every year to sort of try to branch the game out there because of how popular it has become. So I lied. I totally lied. I do see ways that the lacrosse community are sort of going out of their way to sort of help these minority groups. And I even, there's a program in the city of Chicago called Owls Lacrosse, which I ended up doing like a donation bin for at my lacrosse club. And they help inner city youth, which are primarily African-American kids, sort of be able to play the game of lacrosse by donating equipment, pads, et cetera. And just having these different programs is like vital for growing the game. And I think that they've actually done a great job from my perspective of sort of reaching out to different communities to play the sport of lacrosse. And I don't know why I started off saying they didn't, because it's not true.
It's okay. It can definitely feel like it's not at the forefront of priorities with an emerging game. Are there other players at Colby or throughout your time playing the sport who share your heritage?
There's one of my best friends at Colby, Isaac Conte, is an African-American lacrosse player at our school. He's someone that sort of comes to mind. I'm trying to think of, I've met an Asian lacrosse player that, who is it? What's his name? Lily Burnett's boyfriend. He graduated the year before I got there, but the year above Rick. But I had never personally had anyone that was African American or Asian on my team until Colby. They had been completely Caucasian, which is pretty unbelievable, actually, but not surprising. But yeah, I think the only person I could think of right now is Isaac, and then Cade Nagahama, who was a senior last year.
Can you describe that experience?
Like playing with people of similar sort of backgrounds?
Yeah, or the absence of it.
Oh, gotcha. I honestly don't think it's different. And I think that's because once you get to a certain level of sport, it's, you either have it or you don't. Like, you're going to play no matter what you look like. Like, the coach isn't going to choose you, maybe, like, racially. Like, obviously, size does matter. And Asian people tend to be shorter or smaller individuals. And I have seen that before, but definitely nothing with, like, race. Everyone I've sort of played with has been completely fair and not had, like, racial prejudice against someone playing a game of lacrosse.
Did it feel different playing with people who did share a similar identity to you, or would you say it's more or less the same?
I think, no, it definitely feels different. I think that it's a little bit more comforting just sort of looking around and seeing someone who's sort of gone through the things that you have. And I think that's also good for the team, because it sort of shows that these like minorities are allowed to, like, we're allowed to play the sport, and we've obviously made it to where we are today. So we've been successful. And I think that, like, promotes a great team culture, and you won't have those incidences where maybe you'll have a racial issue on the team, which I know happened at some other Nescaic schools within the past few years as well, which is great for us.
Definitely. What advice would you give to players sharing that sentiment?
As in, like, advice towards players in like my situation?
Yeah, players who haven't experienced diversity on their teams or feel as though they're isolated because of their ethnicity or race.
I think in any sport, you just kind of you just have to prove yourself no matter what. And if you have to prove yourself twice over, like I previously said, just because of maybe how you look or like someone's initial perspective of you, put your head down, do the work, and just continue moving forward, and you'll make it there. And I think having that sort of work ethic is even better, because you continue to sort of excel past other people and they feel content, and you don't sort of have that content attitude because people sort of look down upon you. So you just got to keep working.
And would you say your family impacted your relationship with lacrosse or the way you approached the game?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think, obviously, if I wasn't adopted, I would not be playing the sport. And I think that if my brother didn't take the risk of playing his senior year, he played 1 year of lacrosse just for fun, that I really would have played the sport as well. I'm trying to think of like maybe approaching the game. My parents have always sort of made me feel like that I belonged in the family. And I think that sort of translated to lacrosse communities as well. Like I've always felt a part of every team. I never felt different, or I never sort of felt like a stray cat, like in the group. Like that's why I've always sort of said that I never had those issues with racial problems on the team, just because of how I've always bonded with my teammates and how I've always sort of been accustomed of being around like maybe a more Caucasian crowd. So I think that sort of sent back to like the influence of my parents and just always making me feel comfortable and at home.
Definitely. I think that concludes the questions I have for you, Patrick. If you have any other advice you'd like to share or any questions that you'd like to ask me, I'll open up the floor there.
Let me think of something. How do you think, or do you think, I guess this is a question towards both of us, how this interview would have changed if I still played lacrosse, I still had the same background as I did, but I grew up in a, maybe had a, like not an adoptive household, but still was of the same descent. I'm trying to think if that would sort of change the answers that I sort of stated in the previous interview.
That's a great question. I'd love to hear your insight on it.
I'm trying to think of, because I don't, it's hard to put yourself in somebody else's like shoes. I don't know. I feel like you would maybe just feel a little bit more out of place than I did, just because of just like the environment that you grew up in. And I stressed the importance of that throughout the entirety of the interview. I think it would be harder. I personally do think it would be harder.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, Patrick, I really appreciate your time taking the opportunity to do this and sharing your story. It was definitely great hearing more about your background, your life, and the impact being an Asian American lacrosse player and growing up in the school system and all of those experiences and how they've impacted your life. So I definitely appreciate it.
No, thank you. That was actually really fun. Because I feel like some people wouldn't even know if I was like adopted if I didn't tell anyone. So it's good to sort of get it out. So thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
No worries.